All right. Welcome to another episode of the NH Exit Podcast. This is Russell Canning, and I've got Dave on the line with me.
That could be our new national anthem.
Yes, you're right. We don't have a national anthem. Does the state of New Hampshire have something?
I don't know. I have rewritten the imperial anthem, the "Say Can You See" by the yada yada. I've rewritten that one, and I sing that like if I get a chance. I don't get a chance very often that if other people are singing the statist anthem, I sing my version.
So, yeah, well, but there's all kinds of things that come up. I know I've been thinking about a lot of those kinds of things and stuff like that. Okay, so I have a couple of big questions for you, and then a few quick ones that have come up in the last week or so. So the first big one is, what is the list of all the organizations that New Hampshire could exit from?
Oh wow, that would be endless, wouldn't it? NAFTA, GATT, NATO, I don't know. It
Yeah,
would just be forever.
what would we start with? What's the most important one?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just you I'm so focused on New Hampshire politics that I actually don't follow the international news very closely or the imperial news about the US. And so it's just I run out of I wouldn't I don't run out of ideas. I just don't know which one to put in the beginning.
So what the first one would be to get out of the United States.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one
Well, of
and
course,
the most important.
in a sense, it's almost more like the end goal because it seems so far away. And there's so many steps to get from here to there, and those are the ones that count, actually, is the ones that get us closer to that being on the table, even.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking go the other way around where we start trying to nullify or get out of some other ones before we get that far.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the key step is just to make secession be taken seriously. And actual steps being taken in that direction. That's the most important thing. If we don't do that, none of the others matter.
So what would be the easiest one or the first one?
The first international agreement to get out of?
Or whatever.
Oh, well, the first thing that needed to be done was to be get it to get start getting publicity, and we kind of achieved that in 2016, and lightly done that since then. But the next thing that needs to be done, again, I think we talked about this some in the previous podcast, but the next thing that needs to be done is some sort of legislation or resolution at the state level that is secessionist in tone.
No, so that would be, I'm thinking about things to exit from. So if we were to do a, if the, if you were to do a, one of those, that would be the first step in trying to exit from the US, right?
Maybe. And there have been some things that have already been done that are minor exit-oriented things. For instance, the governor has, strangely enough, the governor is a supporter of, he has his own, I think, Twitter account called My NH Exit, but it's not as secessionist as we are, and he's not talking about exiting the union. He's just talking about fighting the federal government on the issue of their control over our interstate exits, and more specifically, the naming of the interstate exits. So it's really a minor thing,
Know.
but it's still the government talking up the concept of an exit and fighting the federal government. So it's not a bad thing.
it's so funny that's so small, you know.
Yeah. But again, that's where it starts, right? That's where things start, is with small things.
Yeah.
The other thing that's happened is the New Hampshire I'm trying to remember, I had in mind a minute ago, the New Hampshire legislature I guess they proposed they had a bill to get out of daylight savings time, which is a federal thing. And
Well,
those are
and those are little things, and they're kind of symbolic, because that's even the kind of stuff you think about. You know, like for me, it comes up a lot that in Arizona, it doesn't change. You know, they just don't do that, and you know, it's a thing to do. It's silly to do it, so you could just not do it.
So little things like that. I mean, I'm glad those, in some ways, I'm glad those bills are on the table. On the other hand, it does seem like strike hacking at the branches instead of striking at the root. And we don't have much root striking going on, you know, when it comes to secession legislation. The closest thing we had was HC, I think it was HCR 6 in 2009, where Dan Itza, a state rep, proposed a bill that was modeled after the Kentucky resolutions of the early 1800s. These were relatively successful moves by states to kind of counter John Adams when he was president. He was kind of an authoritarian, and he had the Alien and Sedition Acts that we probably all, you know, heard about in school. And the part of the, they were control trying the feds were trying to control speech in the ni early 19th century. And the Kentucky resolutions helped deter them from pushing any further than they did. Anyway, Dan Itza's modified version of the Kentucky resolutions, aimed more at Obama, resulted in a massive rally and a near riot on the state house, sit in the state house balcony, and most m or many of the rioters getting elected to the state house. They weren't rioting, but they were unruly, and a lot of people got thrown out of the state house in the wake of that, and that was where you had that Republican sweep and an 11% cut in the New Hampshire budget. So there was some progress associated with that HCR 6 movement.
Well, would you say that some of the baby steps would be those kind of more radical changes to the New Hampshire government,
Well, I
making
mean,
New
that's
Hampshire
just something.
different than other places?
I don't know that. I mean, I think in a way it's sort of a separate issue, but I guess I just indicated that it really isn't ultimately. But I, you know, I it doesn't have to be so, it doesn't have to be complicated. All we need is some sort of legislation or resolution at the state level that gets everybody talking, kind of like HCR 6 did back in 2009. From there, the next step can be taken if it's needed. You know, if it's needed badly enough, the state house may, you know, do it. But again, you know, there was also Caleb Dyer's state rep in the 2017 era. I believe he began crafting secession legislation in 2017 as a sitting state rep. And it never went anywhere. He got a lot of pushback. He then joined the Libertarian Party and, of course, promptly stopped being a state rep because he couldn't get reelected as a Libertarian. So that he, I guess he, I shouldn't say he joined the Libertarian. He may have already been a member. I don't know. But he switched his party affiliation officially while he was in office. And so that, you know, I don't know. He was going to throw himself out of office anyway. He might as well have done it with some interesting piece of legislation that actually moved the ball forward. But no, he decided he wanted to be a live. He wanted to switch his affiliation, which didn't really count for that much.
Yeah, it must have been other factors. Seems like he was just telling us on the NH Exit Facebook group, he was making a new version of an altered version of the Declaration of Independence that those guys presented Sununu and the AG on Monday. So he was coming up a di with a different one that I liked.
Oh, is it something he's doing right now?
Yeah, you can find it on the group right now.
Yeah, I don't mean to. I'm sorry to, you know, I hope I don't sound like I'm dissing him too much. Everyone has all these ideas about what everyone else should do, and it, you know, he hit on most cylinders, on many more cylinders than most states do when it comes to freedom. But I think it's really actually fairly simple. It just probably, he was trying to, with his legislation, he was trying to craft a package of legislation that when put together would be a de facto secession. But it's so complicated, like, well, we have to undo this and then we have to do that thing. And the thing would have been probably really long. And I think really you could, what needs to be done now is not some long, complicated, well thought out thing, but just a thing, right? Something, just a, probably a resolution that just says, we would prefer not to be part of the union. We don't know how that's going to be done. We'll work out the details later, but we are expressing our displeasure with our status as members of the union. Now, just one state rep by themselves could have that brought to the committee and then to the floor. And it doesn't matter how many people hate it, it's going to have to be voted on, not only by the committee, but by the full House, probably. I mean, unless certain steps were taken to stop it, I guess that there are ways to stop it, but it would probably be voted on by the full House. And just that happening, it's just like one of those Quebecois people said, just the fact that we had our referendum was a huge victory back in 1995. And for us to achieve this would actually be easier than what the Quebecois went through and successfully did.
Yeah, so we'll and you and I are both thinking that with NHX that the whole point is any little step and anything that's an actual thing. And like with that, like if somebody proposes a thing where we can be supporting it at every step, and whenever it gets blockaded or sent somewhere else or pushed away, then we can all, tell everybody about that.
Yeah, and any one person listening to me actually has the power to make this happen, because all you would need to do, the reason that I could actually do it myself if I wanted to, if I was willing to just throw away some of my guidelines that I feel like I need to follow. Some, I guess I have an ethical paradigm in which I try to operate. And so what I could do is I could just call up 5 or 10 different state reps and ask them to submit this, as a, like a resolution. I'd probably get 9 of them would probably tell me no, and one of them would probably tell me yes. And they would set up a resolution, and it would go before a committee, and people would laugh it out of committee, and then it would go before the full House, and it would get a little bit more traction, and it would get beaten. But it would be on the agenda. Fox News would be talking about it all day long for a while. And I could do that, but the problem is that it costs the taxpayers $2,000 to
Well,
hear a resolution.
I can't picture a single thing we do that can't conceivably, in some way, cost the state of New Hampshire some money.
Well,
If New Hampshire is going to become its own country, there's going to be some expenses.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna trigger any expenses. I'm just not gonna do that. That's the line I've
Well,
decided
then
not to cross.
maybe we should do stuff besides propose stuff in the House then.
Yeah, maybe so, but there
If
is a
we
solution still that works within the system, and that is, if I'm not gonna throw 2 grand at this. I'm a poor guy, but if somebody else wants to throw 2 grand at it, then we can do it. If
well.
anyone listening to this, it's that's the cost. $2,000 to reimburse taxpayers for the expense of hearing this bill. Once that's on the table, then I can move forward with making the request. I can con start
Well,
contacting people and see who's willing to.
can't you think of it as even us talking about it right now might cost somebody $2,000 down the road? Or if somebody else proposes it, then how can you support it? Because then it's something that costs $2,000.
Oh, I see. Well, I just, I'm responsible for what I do, right? Like, I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. The fact that
I
I'm
mean,
bringing up someone else could go and say, "Well, I'm just gonna do it, and I'm gonna make the taxpayers pay for it." Well, okay,
what
then.
happens? What happens if some guy says, I did this, And then when the push comes, he goes, "Well, you know, Dave Ridley said I should do this." And are you gonna like, "I
Okay.
must now commit Harry Carey. Let me grab my blade."
I've done what I can, right? Like I've avoided making the proposal
See,
directly to
see,
the
you,
state.
see,
That's
you
the
and I are working at cross purposes because I'm trying to cause problems for the government, cost them money.
I don't know. This is what I can do.
So you think that somebody should do this, but not you?
Well, no, I'd be willing to do it. I'm just not willing to fork over the
Yeah.
$2,000.
Well,
Two
see,
grand.
also, it depends on how we want to look at it. I just noticed that John Burt was complaining about how they were gonna have their first session in a few days or next week in the House, and they're gonna do it outside. So think of all the money they're saving on heating up the building by making them all be outside. So, you know, they might save $2,000 right there, which we can use to waste on paperwork to
We
secede.
can hope, but I think what's probably going to happen is some geriatric that goes out there, at age 80 and sits around at 20 degrees for 5 hours and, dies because he gets pneumonia. And, someone ends up suing the state over it and it costs millions of dollars. So I don't know.
Oh, I know that's the thing is, I mean, you're talking about the state of New Hampshire. They waste so much money. It's just all of this COVID stuff is going to be silliness when it starts happening, when we start to do things. All right. So you didn't like the list of all the things we should, all the organizations we should get out of, but you are thinking about little steps. What's some other step that doesn't include the $2,000?
Well, let's see. A step getting New Hampshire closer to independence. Well, obvious things. Any sort of demonstration that gets publicity. Like what I do is I do the publicity directly. I call talk radio in New Hampshire and just talk up the idea because it's common, for a talk radio show, they'll be talking about some federal program or abuse or something like that, and I'll just call in and say, "Well, here's the solution." We exit the union, right? But this is actually more effective than you might think because I've had a chance to. I have talked to John Sununu about this while he was on the air. I called in. This is the elder Sununu who was governor of New Hampshire in, I guess, in the 90s or 80s. And I had him address the issue in front of the viewers or the listening audience. And many other times I've been able to call into talk radio in New Hampshire and talk to important politicians about the issue. So it's of some value and it's not very much work and it's fun. So that's the thing that I do most reliably.
What else could we do just in the PR end of things like that? The radio calling into the radio shows. What else could we do like
Well, publicity stunts would be useful. I've always been a big fan of those, but I don't really like to do them myself. I've done a few, and they've gotten pretty good publicity, and you've been part of some of them.
that?
You were the featured picture, back at that day, back in the, in the 2005 era when we did the protest against FEMA. You were there burning a FEMA flag. That was on the front page. That was on the front page of the Concord Monitor, and those kinds of things are fun. I find that for me, they're logistically too much of a hassle, and I get more bang for the buck by making more talk radio calls, it seems like, and doing Ridley Report stuff with my YouTube channel. But there's always an opening for people who want to do publicity stunts.
Yeah, so people that are listening to this or other people that are on our Facebook group and other groups online, yeah, if we pulling inventing things like that where you're doing some publicity stunt against the worst parts of the feds that were wanting to leave. That makes sense.
Yeah.
We can do that kind of thing.
And that was, that one got publicity because it was timely, because we were protesting against the federal government's handling of Katrina.
Yeah, and I think about Katrina every time I drive around the South and go past an entire field of rotting trailers. I see that every few months I drive by one of those. Just watching things rot in the jungle in Louisiana and elsewhere. It's endless. Well, so one of the things that has come up a few times in the last 2 weeks is people objecting to the idea of us exiting because of the threat of China. What do you think of that?
Well, I might be the right person to answer this question because I might be the only New Hampshire exit guy that speaks Mandarin.
That's possible.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much that's going to help me. And I actually don't speak it that well yet, but I've got about a 500 word vocabulary. And the reason I've got that is because I agree that we have to really be worried about China. That is not a point of contention. And everyone's going to have their own take on this sort of thing. But for me, yeah, I do buy the idea that the Chinese government is a massive threat to the United States and to New Hampshire, whether it was part of the United States or not. The government is hell, apparently hell-bent on doing, terrible things to the world, as best I can tell. That's what the Chinese government is trying to do. And this is not your Deng Xiaoping Chinese government. It's not your Hu Jintao Chinese government. It's the Xi Jinping Chinese government, and that guy is a danger. There's no question about it. In a way that these other people were not, these leaders in the 90s and up until the time that Xi Jinping took power. So there's a real danger. But the question is whether, do we trust the federal government to be a bulwark against the Chinese government? And I don't.
Yeah, do you think so some people are saying that we'd be in trouble if we split. What do you think about that?
I think we'll be in trouble if we don't split. But we could be in trouble either way, possibly. And so for so. The thing that needs to happen is if New Hampshire is to be independent, then we need to have a bulwark that makes us safe against China. And that also, part of that process is making sure we're not mistreating the Chinese government the way that the federal government does. Now, it's true that the Chinese government is terrible, but that doesn't mean that the federal government should be doing some of the things that it does. I mean, one of the reasons the Chinese government is so bad is because the federal government mistreats them, right? So that would be a start. However much we might want to be safe from them, we also should not be mistreating them. And the restrictions on trade, the saber rattling and so forth, that sort of stuff is the result of the federal government's misbehavior. And an independent New Hampshire would not have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, would how does China interact with a lot of little countries?
Well, it depends on how close they are to China in many cases. But what you're seeing, I mean, it's good to take a look at some of the things that the Chinese government is doing to Australians and some of the things that it is doing to Africans. There was that case recently where a student, I think he was just a student from Australia, and he was just. He doesn't have anything to do with China in terms of he doesn't come from China. He's not Chinese. He doesn't look Chinese. He's just some guy with a French sounding name who went and did a protest one day, right, at his university. And the university responded by having him suspended. And he did a, you know, he did a protest, the kind of protest that you and I do, you know, where we're just standing somewhere with a sign, right? We're not doing anything controversial. But that guy was his college career was messed up. And there were people who came and beat him up during his protest. And the Chinese embassy, I guess it was, in Australia, praised the people who beat him up.
And where was this called? Where was this university?
This is in Australia, but I don't remember which university. But these kinds of things are, that's the way that the Chinese government is behaving. They're just pushing further and further.
Well,
And
that would make me feel like even if you're part of a very large country like Australia, you're not protected.
right, they are not protected. They are in great danger. And I think any part of the world could be in great danger at some point as a result of the increasing authoritarianism in China. But there are so many things that we could do, though, as an independent country, that would mitigate this. For example, we could in New Hampshire, we could eliminate all these gun laws that the federal government imposes on us, and all the different, there's all these different options for self-defense for a country, right? For a little country. We could stop that, there's this process of self-defense that is constantly being interfered with by the federal government, right? Like we don't have to have all these laws about how our guns are made, what kind of guns we're allowed to own, whether we're allowed to own heavy weaponry for a start.
And you think that would help us defend ourselves against China?
For instance, the Swiss do not have a lot of trouble with China. They didn't have a lot of trouble with Hitler even, right? Despite the fact that they'd been completely surrounded, right? And they were having air battles with the Nazis, right? They had like a pitched air battle. I can't remember what year it was. And they beat them. They beat the Nazis, right? Because they had a proper defense. Now, the way they went about doing some of these things wasn't ideal because they were charging taxpayers all this money to buy Messerschmitts and whatnot. Not Messerschmitts. That's not the right word. What's the aircraft that they were using? Anyway, they had a different. They had bought weapons from the Germans, and they used them against the Germans when the Germans would try to cross their territory. Cross into their airspace, right? But the other things that they did was, they allowed everyone to have firearms at home, and they had, their whole army. The weapons were not kept, in central locations. They were just decentralized, and each member of the military had their own weapons at home, and that's another small thing. Again, we're in a different situation now, that the way this is all going to play out is going to be different from World War II. But the important thing is the freedom that people had to be armed.
Yeah, and for me, one of my reactions to this China question is, is Iceland in incredible danger because they're a small country? Are the Bahamas in great danger? I just don't see it. Just because we became a smaller country than the United States, I don't see why every country in the world is just ready for getting plundered. They're not part of the United States. I mean,
Well,
I just don't see why that's true.
there's a case to be made that the Chinese government will go on some sort of rampage if the United States is not available, right? Right now, the fact that there is a United States, and it's got probably way too much military, does have a deterrent effect on the Chinese government. They play it more cautiously. If the American government were simply taken out of the picture immediately, and that is probably roughly how it would happen, because you think how fast the Soviet Union disappeared, how fast Yugoslavia disappeared. That kind of situation could result in the Chinese government having feeling like they have a free hand. Under certain scenarios anyway. So it's not something to be just dismissed. There has to be something to replace it. The deterrent effect that the United States has needs to be replaced with something better.
So, yeah, this is going to come up over and over again where people have the problem of us exiting because of the threat of the bad guy. And there's a bad person out there, so we can't exit. It's just too dangerous. So it's going to keep coming up.
Yeah, it is. It is. And the danger is going to increase, and the fear is going to increase, and that may just that at some point that may throw our whole idea right out the window for everybody else. And it's complicated, and it's not obvious exactly everything that would need to be done. But basically, if you've got more freedom, then that's the main solution. You know, we need the freedom to do so many things that the federal government bans us from doing. People thinking about guns, that those are probably going to be obsolete when the fight happens with China. There's going to be something else that's a lot more important than guns. I don't know what it'll be. It might be AI. It might be this concept of hacking human behavior, which is closer than you think, and trickery and hack. Well, yeah, I guess I mentioned hacking already, but all there's all these different things that they can do to us, and there's all these different things that we're banned from doing, right? Like we're not allowed. I can't go buy a drone and fly it around on my own. I have to have a license to do that. I can't make a drone that has the capability of shooting at things. And there are all these different things that we should be able to do that the feds are keeping us from doing. And the feds are doing nothing when it comes to, they're not, when was the last time you heard the federal government put pressure on Taiwan to end its gun laws? That may be where the next fight happens, right? That'd be the obvious place. Would be for them to make a play on Taiwan. And when they do that, the Taiwanese will put up a brave fight with their military, but their average people will be restricted from doing very much. And because of that, the Taiwanese will place themselves at an unnecessary disadvantage. And you and I will pay the price for that because the federal government will think, well, the Taiwanese are losing because they have gun laws, so we need to make taxpayers fix the problem in Taiwan.
And I'm just imagining the freedom and what you could be in people could be deciding and inventing in a small country that's free compared to the United States government spending money on big ships. You know, the billions of dollars they spend on these things.
Right. There's all this obsolete stuff that's just going to be wiped out when the fighting starts, if it starts with China. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot like if you think about 1914, where there was so many lives wasted on cavalry charges, right? Cavalry was obsolete from day one of World War One.
Yeah, but that's how they started.
But it took them months to figure that out. And they were still using cavalry, and on, I think they were using cavalry during the Cambrai offensive in 1917. That was, the cavalry played a key role in that, so they hadn't figured, they hadn't actually figured it out that it didn't work. And so something like that will happen with the US. They think that they can use these ancient technologies like aircraft carriers to be part of a war with a major power like China. And I think they're just going to get their butts kicked if they try to do that. But they're incapable of change. The federal government is just, it's just this, it's just, what's the right word? It's like it's ancient in the way that it operates.
Yeah, and all the contracts and who how they spend their money, you know, that's all so predetermined. It already, you know, every time they want to invent a new plane or something, that's such a long process and such a, you know, there's just billions of dollars wasted on stuff every time they're wanting to switch and things like that. Well,
Yeah.
let's look at so now I have a couple of quick ones that came up in the last week. So on the NHX at Facebook group, a guy named Jonathan Homan, I don't know how to say his last name, Homon, he brought up some objections that he's heard from people in the last week or questions people have. So one of them was, what kind of military thing would we have set up besides individual people? What do you think would happen if the, you know, say we were to leave and we had the state of New Hampshire became a country as it is right now? What kind of military solutions do you think would pop up?
Well, I mean, I hate to bring up one that you just ruled out, but I think the solution is probably for the New Hampshire government to encourage and allow individuals and groups to form their own organizations. I refer to them as like defense charities, where you would. And then we're moving into territory that has not been explored, so this is new. But the idea that instead of having a situation where right now the central government discourages people from forming defense groups, right? And the New Hampshire state law discourages people from engaging in like getting together for defense training of some kind. That is discouraged by both the state and federal government. And the main thing is to get them out of the way so that people can form organizations or militias or whatever you want that practice defense without government oversight. That's the key, I think. Now, that's my theory, and there's not a lot of countries that have done that, so we don't know how well or how badly it would work. But that is definitely an option.
Well, what kind of things do you think would happen right now? Not something that you might be choosing, but what would this, if the state of New Hampshire became a government right now, what kind of stuff would they come up with?
You mean what kind of rules to stop
So
us from
what?
doing things?
No, what kind of military would they invent?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure that that's the way to do it. I do not favor,
No,
again,
I'm
this
not saying
personal.
what you would do. What do you think they would do? Maybe
I think
over
they
your
would do
objective.
something. They would do. I think they would do something more like Switzerland. I don't think they would do what I think they should do. They would
Yeah.
probably try to make they would create their own military and infrastructure. That's what they would probably do.
Yeah. I can totally picture that happening.
And it would be an improvement over what we currently have.
Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is the people that are bringing this up is they can't even envision that anything would happen. They're envisioning us crazy anarchists not knowing what to do. Well, I wouldn't even be in charge of this government. If we split, the state of New Hampshire would come up with stuff.
Yeah, they would.
They might even buy equipment from the same people that the United States government buys equipment from.
And
I mean,
the simple solution is just to follow the Swiss model. I mean, that's the
yeah.
safe thing to do, probably, but it would be expensive.
And
It wouldn't be as expensive as income tax to
yeah, I know.
the
If you
federal
took the chunk of money that we send to the federal government, I mean, the things you could do with that would be mind-boggling.
Yeah, but Dan, it's the guy who had the idea for this sort of this this bill that would have been what's the right word? The sort of anti-federal bill that he had. Dan, it's also proposed this bill that would create like a New Hampshire, what's the right word? It would be a New Hampshire. I'm trying to remember the term that he used. There was a New Hampshire bill that would be like a militia, sort of like a state militia, maybe. I can't remember the right words. There was another way he put it. I'm trying to remember. You go ahead and talk for a sec while I try to remember.
I haven't thought about that at all, or I didn't know any of the wording that they had in regard to that. Yeah, I don't know what you'd call it.
Okay, it was a state, kind of like the national, a state guard. That's what it was called.
State Guard. Yes, okay, I
Was,
remember that.
yes.
Yes.
And this is something that people have been talking for 20 or 30 years. Replace the National Guard with real state guards. That's kind of what Dan Itza was trying to do. And again, I don't think that's the best solution. I'm not going to support it directly, but it would.
Well, Dave, you don't want to spend $2,000 on some paperwork. You're not going to be able to buy a military with $2,000. But I'm just saying, like right now, if we were to somehow have a mechanism to vote to secede, and we were to secede right now, the state of New Hampshire would figure out some stuff.
Yeah, it would do something.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be figuring out some stuff, and we can figure this out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, it's not, we're not going to Ancapistan the first day. It's
No.
not like it's all, we're reinventing the wheel. Like you're saying, you'd have like what we have, which you call a state guard, but we'd be calling it the, you know, the Republican Guard. We'd be calling it the National Guard. It'd be the, you know, it'd be the Homeland Defense Fleet of of New Hampshire. It'd be whatever, you know. So here's another one he brought up was what would be used as money in a New Hampshire?
Well, it would seem like right now the thing that would probably work best would be for the state government to allow people to use gold. If they have to, if they have to do something for, to the government, then gold, Bitcoin, Monero, probably a combination of those three. Would probably be the thing that would work best, and just have the government accept those three things. And I don't see how it'd be that would be all that difficult.
If New Hampshire was its own country, they could make those kinds of things legal tender, right? You could make gold and silver legal to pay debts, right?
Yeah, but there's no reason. I mean, there's no reason the federal, I mean, the New Hampshire government could continue using dollars if it wanted
Yeah.
to.
Yeah, because
There's no reason it couldn't continue keeping those. Like when I was in Bosnia during the war, and I could use dollars to buy things. When I was in Mostar, while the place was like, this was in the middle of the siege of Mostar, right? I was the only, I was probably the only sort of tourist in the whole town. And yet I was able to use dollars. It wasn't a problem.
Yeah, because that wasn't illegal for you to do. They just people did it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you think about when the colonies became their own country after the Revolutionary War, they didn't at the beginning they didn't even invent their own money yet. They were using Spanish money. They were using other people's money, right? They just made do. I mean, we don't have to invent things. We can just make it not illegal. For you use, yeah, because why wouldn't people be using dollars? Sure, they'd use dollars. Make it
Yep.
legal to use gold and silver, and we'd start doing it. So
Why not?
that'll be good. I was wanting to, you know, I'm going to start having a table at Liberty Forum, Porkfest, things like that for NH Exit. And I was wanting to have the Shire Silver guy there at our table. But Ron Helwig doesn't do Shire Silver anymore. So I'm thinking that we'll have to do our own silver exchange at the table just to have one of the examples of what will be happening when it's all when we switch over. We can make these things, we can use money like that. It was used before, we can use it again. So that's my plan when we do things. We'll share we'll part of the table space will be swapping silver. And then, you know, because I guess that hasn't been happening much. So those were the ones that he brought up. What in the current situation, what do you think of in regards to, you know, how it connects to NH Exit or not, the current lockdown situation?
Well, it seems like that it is like the situation we're in, it doesn't really lend itself very well to secession right now, it seems like, because of the fact that the current administration in Washington is not really, they haven't been doing a lot of things that interfere with states' rights. Does that make sense? They're letting each right. You know, each state is kind of doing their own thing against COVID.
I've been kind of surprised at how the feds have not initiated things over the last few months.
Right. So for
I'm
that
kind
reason,
of thinking that they will.
they will later, I think, but for now, they haven't done things that trigger secessionism. They will trigger that probably later, when the Biden administration comes through, unless you know some, in you know, I mean, it seems like the COVID problem has been going down fairly fast for the last few weeks. And if that continues, you know, then Biden may let it go, and people will not be particularly angry at him over COVID, because he may decide not to, you know, lock everybody down like he was talking about doing. But I would be surprised if he. I think he'll probably lock down the country in some form or fashion, and you know, it's just that's the way of Democrats, and he's probably going to do that.
I know,
So,
I can really picture that next year, that this could be the main secession issue.
yeah. So when he does that, the conservatives and libertarians will probably lose their mind to some extent. And that will put secessionism on the agenda. That it seems like a likely outcome over the year or two following us. And if it doesn't, if that's not how it plays out, there's other things that will probably trigger secessionism, and that the likelihood to be, if there's some kind of an economic crisis, that's going to probably trigger secessionism.
Yeah, I can see
Again, it won't be enough for anyone to actually secede in the United States, but it will put the thing back into the agenda.
Yeah, what do you think we could do to make New Hampshire the least lockdown state? How could we be better than South Dakota? How could we be better than Florida?
Well, I think we need those. We got to have those 2,000, 20,000 immigrants, the 20,000 Liberty migrants. We only have, you know, what, 4 or 5,000 of them currently. Now, I would have thought we could have done it with 2,000, but it looks like Jason Sorens was right, that it really does take about 20,000 people. So what, you know, if you look back at, you know, when Free Staters started moving to New Hampshire in the 2002, 2004 era, I guess it was 2003 when they started moving. They would immediately come to New Hampshire. They would immediately hit the road running. The early movers, like you, when you moved in 04, I think, or me, or Kat, or Ian Freeman, who moved in 06. These early movers were super active. So, and they really created a stir and a lot of publicity. So we thought, huh, if that's what we can do with 500 movers, what can we, I mean, we probably only need 2,000 to make a huge difference. But it turned out that actually when we hit 2,000 and 5,000 and whatever the total is, that these people who moved later actually were not near as active. So Jason's early calculation that we needed 2,000 movers to sort of create a relatively free state, that turned out to be probably an accurate prediction, and we might even need more than that. So that I think that's the thing, we have needing more, we need more people moving, or alternately, we need the ones who've already moved to kind of act like the, you know, like the 2005 movers or the 2007 movers. You know, there was so much activity back then.
Yeah, what do you think we could do in the next year, not counting on people moving?
The usual things, you know, publicity stunts, people getting elected to office. And I think that actually has worked out pretty well lately. I would suspect we've probably got a record number of Free Staters at the State House right now compared to all the other elections. And I guess, you know, the other thing is people are running their own media operations.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting in the next few months to see what happens in the State House.
Yeah,
You
because
know?
right now, I mean, it's a sea of red right now. The Republicans are dominant, and they're going to be clashing with the Washington administration, and they're going to be probably doing something to reduce expenditures. I mean, again, last time we had Republican State House and a Republican Senate, that resulted in an 11% cut in the budget.
Yeah, because that can be it can, yeah, it could be significant pretty quickly.
And they didn't even have control of the governor's office. We had a Democrat office, and they still managed to cut spending by 11%.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think this, you know, these lockdown things, this is going to be the big issue for the next who knows how long. I
Probably.
mean, next year, it's not gonna change quickly. So we'll see what happens next. All right, well, that covered quite a few topics. Was there something that you were gonna bring up that I didn't know about?
Well, I do want to, I guess I should say that I praise and appreciate whoever it was that brought up the danger from Beijing.
Well, that was the one that the person that specifically was saying we cannot exit because of that is Paul Mirsky.
Well, you know, it may turn out that we don't exit, right? it's still a fringe idea. And I can see where he's coming from. I can see the point. And but that's why each of us needs to, you know, start getting ready
Well, that's the
for.
other thing is. Like also, you know, like the things like the State of Jefferson fizzled after Pearl Harbor. I mean, if something was to happen, also, what's to stop New Hampshire from seceding from the United States, but still being in treaties with the same groups that we are right now? Why
Yeah, I
couldn't
mean
that happen?
it's a scary in well, scary is not the right word. There be a lot of problems with New Hampshire being too close to all the other states, but that is a certain that's an option. I
But
mean,
if your problem, if what you're worried about is China, you know, why would we be worse off than some Caribbean nation? I just don't see
yeah,
it.
we wouldn't we'd be better
Why
off.
aren't we wouldn't be better than the Dominican Republic? We
Yeah,
wouldn't
and of
be better
course
than Haiti.
we're already threatened by the United States government. So, and
That's
they're much closer.
to me, that's the overwhelming threat is the United
Yeah.
States government. I mean, if
Yeah.
I'm splitting, I'm not worried about what happens to China. Because if China's going to do something, they're doing it to Taiwan, the people that split from them. Right? They're not going to come after New Hampshire first.
Well, not first, but again, you know, you don't necessarily want to wait around for them to take action when it's too late.
And then if you feel like that, you can join a military alliance with these people.
Yes, and that's the important thing that's the important thing that New Hampshire should be doing that Switzerland does not do. Switzerland restricts people from joining militias and, you know, fighting
I'm
foreign.
saying from the point of view of Paul Mirsky, if we were to split, why couldn't they vote to join NATO?
Yeah, I mean
know
that's
what
another option.
I mean.
We could be part. We could be part of NATO, or we could be part of. We could be allied with the other states without necessarily being directly controlled by the United States government. And if you look at how that worked out in Germany, which was, part of NATO, but they were not heavily mistreated by the United States government after the war. Once the 1950s started, even before then, they were pretty well treated by the US government and NATO. And that's because they were a separate country. And that's an option for us. We can be a separate country, but also could be close to Washington as a means of of defending from China. That's a possibility. I'm not sure that I'm not sure I like it, but it's an option.
Yeah, I don't see. That's the thing is, I mean, there'll be things that the country of New Hampshire would do that I wouldn't choose to do, but I would
Yeah.
still see it as better than the federal government doing it.
Yeah.
It's just I don't like right now. People aren't going to do all of the changes, right? We would do some of the changes, right? It just
Yeah. And you look, I'm sorry, go ahead.
yeah, it's not going to be everything.
And you can look at how close Slovakia is with the Czech lands. And when they seceded, the Czech lands didn't like it. But they get along great, because no one ever tried to stop them. And I think if anyone bothered Czechoslovakia, the Slovaks would be on, they would be in the same fight immediately.
Yeah, I can picture that. I mean, it's not like, well, also, I think that some of that comes hand in hand with conflating us leaving with us going to war with the US, right? The purpose of us leaving is not, we're not going to start the leaving by going to war. That's not what we're trying to do. And then
There's just
we're
there's
left
not yeah
devastated.
there's not a history there's not a history of US states being hostile to each other in the North, right? That just is not how it happens. It doesn't happen in the West either. It only happened between the South and the North 130 or so, I guess it would have been 100 and 140 years ago roughly. And that is not to be ignored, but by and large, the states have very good relations with one another.
Yeah,
And
and like we're talking.
they've had that ever since the early 1900s. So we're not, this is not like Yugoslavia or like the former Soviet Union in the respect where these states and the people in them have terrible relations with one another. The only people that have terrible relations right now are members of these authoritarian freak organizations known as the Republican Party and the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I don't know why we couldn't, why wouldn't we be like Norway leaving Sweden? I mean, they didn't have to go to war with each other. And
Right,
they're
and that
not,
was a long
they
time ago when people were a lot more violent, but they got along fine.
And, like we talked last time with, Estonia leaving the Soviet Union, I mean, it didn't mean a war. It
Yeah,
didn't mean.
that worked out pretty smoothly too. Although I think people tend to forget what happened in the 1950s and 40s. There actually was warfare between all three Baltic countries and the Soviets all the way through to roughly 1970, depending on how you count it.
But we're in the situation where we're deciding, do we want to leave? Same with when
Yeah.
Estonia decided we wanted to leave. Well, that didn't mean that we have to fight with them and we have to be devastated and then China comes and picks us off.
Right, they worked very closely with the Soviet Union. They came to an agreement. It was, pretty bloodless. Now there are mild tensions, but those are mild tensions between countries that are profoundly different and which in the relatively recent past were in a violent state of warfare with each other. Now they get along pretty well. And so yeah, Estonia is a they're a fantastic model to follow in a lot of
Yeah.
ways. But again, Estonia seems to get by with this terrible gun control that they have. It's worse than Massachusetts. It's worse than New York. What's almost as bad as New York. But yet they've got Vladimir Putin right there on their doorstep And yet it seems to kind of work with their 2% per year military budget. And I just don't understand how they do so well with so few expenditures and such strict gun control. They're doing everything wrong in a sense in terms of deterring the Putins, and yet they're managing okay.
I know that just for me, a lot of this comes to why would we think we were much worse than these other places? I just don't see why New Hampshire
Yeah,
would be like that.
there's no way New Hampshire's becoming independent and then doing more gun control. That's not how this is going to play.
No, we know that's not going to
If New
happen.
Hampshire becomes independent, it's going to have all sorts of things going for it that Estonia and Latvia do not, and that like, Taiwan does not.
Yeah, it just
When
it's so
I
much.
talk, when I'm talking about self-defense, against foreign countries.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, those were the little ones that we were going to cover. I'm trying to work on talking to Daniel Richard of the Committees of Safety New Hampshire guys that did the Declaration of Independence on Monday, last Monday, to Sununu and the AG. That hasn't been set up yet, but I'm working on that. And pretty soon, maybe I will get Elliot back on Axelman for a good COVID rant.
Yeah,
So,
I'm really looking forward. I have still need to listen to your podcast with him, and I think it's great that you were talking to someone who's not me for more variety. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. I've never met him, and I'd love to hear him talk.
And the Liberty Block podcast is going to talk to one of the Texas secession guys.
Good.
This will happen tomorrow, and then they post it pretty quickly. So
Yeah.
that will be up on all social media, NH Exit. So, whenever people hear that, if they haven't run into it, they will be able to find that. So,
Yeah.
because I talked to one of their guys today, and their thinking's very much like us. So he was afraid that we might be doing the same work or redundant, and I said, "Oh, let's just plow forward."
You're talking about the Texas secessionists?
No, talking about the Liberty Block guys.
Oh, okay. They thought, yeah, well, we need decentralization. We need other people doing different things, and we need to not be too dependent on each other.
Yeah,
We need to make sure there's no head to chop off.
and I just. And I was just saying also, like if they do a podcast that's covering the exact topic that I was thinking of, okay, well then I'll just link to theirs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're going to be covering a lot of the same stuff. Because even just talking about secession is unacceptable to the system, and I think good. So,
Yeah.
we can't talk about it too much, I don't think yet. So
Well,
we'll
we the problem we face is not we just we need more mainstream publicity right now at this point.
Yeah.
That's the main problem. And we're not getting it.
And that's the taking, you have to do actual things that makes people pay attention to each step.
Right. And I could
Or
do that. If it was 2005, I felt like doing publicity stunts back then. It was new and different. I tried them out. I did my share over the years, and I didn't like it that much. So I don't do that. But man, if someone else wants to do it, it will be effective. You call the union leader up, you tell them where you're going to be burning a FEMA flag or something like you did, or burning a picture of Joe Biden or something like that, or burning a picture of Donald Trump. If you're going to be doing that, the union leader's showing up and you're getting some media, and now the item is on the agenda. It can be done very easily. I just don't enjoy it.
Yes. Well, we'll have to think of stuff. We'll think of some stuff to do along the way.
Yeah, and
All right.
meanwhile, I'm not doing nothing. I'm making those talk radio calls. It's the show is going on. It's just that most liberty activists are not going to hear it.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing with that kind of thing is it's hard because you don't have a recording of it and be able to point other people to it. But there's
Yeah, well,
plenty.
now I am doing that with I hate to talk just about myself, but that's what I know. But I have been doing a lot of stuff on the Riddler Report on my YouTube channel. I did interview an executive counselor last month about secession, And as you know, those are the people that are kind of like vice governors. We have like five people who are like vice governors in New Hampshire. It's a weird system. But they're important, and they would play an important role in secession. And I did question, I guess, two or three of them about it recently. And I question other New Hampshire officials about secession on my channel. So I'm doing more than nothing, but I'm probably not doing as much as I could.
Well, and also, so how has that worked out, asking him about that?
He was really nice. I forget the name of this one. They're five, like I said, five counselors. This one's relatively, I haven't never met him before. And yeah, he was going on his way to a meeting with the governor, and I said, yeah, so how bad would things have to get in Washington for you to support New Hampshire secession? And he just stood there for 20 seconds, just calculating. Wow, I've never heard that question before. And then he gave me his opinion, in detail. And it was mainly like, I can't think of a scenario that would be bad enough for us to do that. And the government in Washington, of course they're going to have problems and everything. So it was a pretty mainstream answer and everything, but I really appreciated him stopping and taking the time, giving it
Well,
some
and
thought.
he wasn't mad at you for even thinking about it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Well, so that's posted on the Facebook group, right? That video.
Yeah, and on RidleyReport.com.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, for how for people find it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all those things, every time you ask one of those questions, I'm sure we'll be able to get it up so people can find it.
Right.
Yeah, because it is interesting to see people's reactions. So, all right. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll be able to connect again in the next week. On the 6th, I'm still doing our presentation at the Seacoast Welcome Group. So that's still all happening. And I've got all my plans to get there. I'm moving trucks to Tennessee and Massachusetts, and I will be in New Hampshire on Wednesday night.
That is awesome. I'm really glad you're doing that.
So we'll have that. We have set up a bunch of brochures from the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. Hopefully they're already there. And then hopefully we'll have some other NH exit type people there to have, because people have lots of questions when you start talking about this. So
Right.
we'll have a report from that in a week or so.
Hey, you might want to look into, I don't know if she would agree to do it or not, but Ana Stanic in Slovenia, she's the daughter of the guy that led the referendum in Slovenia on independence, and they practically escaped Slovenia from Belgrade. And she has all these ideas about how you go about, like all the mistakes they made in Slovenia when they didn't understand how to rapidly, set their economy up for independence. And she said, you got to do that stuff beforehand. And I've talked to her a little bit by email. I've never interviewed her. She might be willing to go on. She's part of, independence movements around the country.
Well, so with some of the people, I'm going to either try to get them on the podcast, or we can even do an email interview and post.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah, because we need all these specific things that we can think of and things to do. Yeah. Okay. Well, so we'll try to contact her.
But yeah, there's gonna be someone in Slovenia that knows what to avoid doing, right? There was just all these things they couldn't do because everything was moving too fast, and a lot of it was economic. And so that's that's just beyond me knowing what needs to be done, but she knows.
Okay, well that yeah, we'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good catching up. We'll try to hook up in the next week or so and do another one of these. And there'll be
All
some more
right. All
questions.
right. Thanks again for running this show.
Okay. Talk to you later, Dave.
Okay. Take care, Russell.
Bye.
Bye.